Today is August 7th, 2026. This is your AI briefing for Business Pragmatist. In the next 8 to 10 minutes, we'll cover a Claude MCP connector demo that fans a single prompt across 5 video generation models with a built-in cost gate, a healthcare AI warning about shortcut overfitting from Dr. David Klonoff, and Nick Bostrom's flag on the 10 to the 26th power flop compliance threshold that Frontier Labs are already tracking. Here's the number worth sitting with, 182.9 credits. That's the total cost a system surfaced for approval before it ran a single job, and the job itself was unusual. One prompt fanned out across 5 different vendors automatically. In a demonstration reviewed by AI News Official, someone connected Higgsfield's MCP server to Claude through the Settings and Connectors panel, then typed a single natural language request. Behind the scenes, that request fanned out across 5 separate third-party video generation models, Kling 3.0, Seedance 2.0, Google's Veo 3.1, WAN 2.6, and Grok, Imagine 1.5. And before any of them actually executed, the system priced the whole run and asked for sign-off. The strategic play for your board is recognizing this isn't really a video generation story, it's a preview of how agentic tool calling gets governed at scale. 2 design choices matter more than the demo itself. First, the connector functions as a protocol-level abstraction layer sitting between the reasoning model and a pile of heterogeneous vendor APIs. When one model, Sora, wasn't available, the system quietly substituted Grok Video 1.5 without breaking the surrounding task. Your engineering teams don't have to handwrite integration code for every vendor that shows up this quarter. Second, and more importantly, the spending approval sits at the connector layer, not buried inside some application-specific settings screen. That's the correct default for any organization running tool calling agents against metered backends, because it means cost control travels with the architecture instead of depending on every individual app team remembering to build it themselves. This pattern is showing up elsewhere too. Separate coverage from Julian Goldie SEO describes a do-it-yourself version of the same idea. A custom Hermes harness paired with Alibaba's Qwen 3 Max claimed at 2.4 trillion parameters with roughly a 1 million token context window. Plus a second setup pairing the open-source Hermes agent with open code as an execution layer coordinated through a Kanban board. Building on that, the honest caveat here is that none of those performance numbers carry independent benchmark support, no third-party leaderboard, no enterprise case study. Treat them as architecture references, useful for understanding the shape of the trend, not as numbers to plan a budget around. The real decision your team faces isn't whether to decouple reasoning, execution, and memory into separate swappable pieces. Frameworks like LangGraph, Microsoft AutoGen, and CrewA, I already assume you will. The decision is whether you build your own harness for full control over data governance, or adopt an existing framework and accept some lock-in in exchange for battle-tested retry logic and state management you don't have to invent yourselves. Now, more importantly, there's a risk story sitting underneath a much more sensitive category, healthcare AI, where the stakes of getting deployment architecture wrong aren't wasted compute credits, they're patient outcomes. Dr. David Klonoff, speaking at Cleveland Clinic Grand Rounds, laid out why federated learning has become the practical default for training models across multiple hospital sites. Hospitals won't pool raw patient data for governance reasons, so the workable architecture keeps training local and only aggregates model parameters centrally. That preserves data locality and cuts down on transfer compliance overhead, but it comes with real trade-offs. Differences in patient populations across sites can slow convergence, and aggregating parameters doesn't fully close off the risk of model inversion attacks. If your organization is buying or building multi-site or population-scale models, federated learning capability belongs in the vendor RFP as a requirement, not an assumption. Building on that, Klonoff flagged something even more consequential. A failure mode standard train test splits simply do not catch. One model appeared to classify wolves versus huskies With 100% accuracy, it was actually detecting snow in the background. A skin cancer classifier appeared to perform brilliantly. It was detecting a surgical ruler placed next to malignant lesions, not the lesions themselves. Here's the part that should concern any board overseeing an AI deployment. Both training and internal test accuracy held near 99% in each case, because the shortcut variable was present throughout the entire dataset. A model can look flawless on every metric you check internally and still be measuring the wrong thing entirely. The actionable takeaway is straightforward. Never trust a reported diagnostic accuracy figure without external, out-of-distribution validation from a different site, population, or time period. That's not a research nicety. It's a liability control. A useful structural analogy came up on the All In podcast, where Saronix Dino Mavrukakis and Vib Alakar discussed vertically integrating design, manufacturing, and software rather than splitting them across vendors, what Alakar called hardware-software co-design. The ML parallel is direct. Teams that split model training, feature engineering, and serving across separate owners pay a coordination tax, the same tax Saronix avoids by keeping functions in-house. Where your feature store and model serving boundaries sit should be a deliberate architectural decision, not something that just fell out of your org chart. Last, two compliance items technical leads should be tracking right now. Per discussion on Chris Williamson's podcast, researcher David Rosato ran repeated political compass testing on ChatGPT across December 6th, December 24th, and a follow-up period, and found measurable output shifts within under 3 months, with no published change log explaining the change. If you're running any regulated content generation workflow, that's a contractual gap to close now. Require vendor changelog disclosure and version lock the specific model snapshot you're relying on. More importantly, Nick Bostrom, also via Williamson's podcast, flagged that any training run exceeding 10 to the 26th power flops currently triggers a U.S. reporting obligation. If your team is training or fine-tuning anywhere near that scale, compute tracking belongs inside the training pipeline itself, wired as an automated compliance check into whatever orchestrates your runs, Ray, Kubeflow, or a custom scheduler, rather than living in a spreadsheet someone updates after the fact. Bostrom also named model weight theft as a live risk at Frontier Labs, which means weight security now deserves its own line item, separate from general data security, in any hosting or fine-tuning agreement you sign. On the research side, worth a quick note, Klonoff cited a glucose forecasting algorithm holding above 90% accuracy even at a 120-minute prediction horizon, now benchmarkable through an open dataset ahead of a public forecasting contest in October 2026. And Google's Wear Me study, published in Nature with over 1,100 participants, is worth reading less for its results and more for its method, fusing wearable biometric data with lab values to classify insulin sensitivity against a clinical gold standard. Klonoff's own caution applies to all of it. Higher model sophistication hasn't reliably translated into better outcomes without a dedicated layer that turns predictions into action. So here's the pairing to carry out of this one. The opportunity is architectural. Protocol-level tool abstraction with a pre-execution cost gate, like the Higgsfield connector, lets you scale agentic workflows across vendors without rebuilding integration logic every time a provider changes. The risk sits right next to it: shortcut overfitting, undisclosed model drift, and compute thresholds that trigger legal obligations can all hide behind metrics that look perfect, right up until an external check catches them. Build the abstraction layer, but build the validation and compliance gates into it from day one, not after the audit. Stay strategic. I'll see you at the next briefing. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.